get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money.
Mr. Worldwide.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We were just talking about Hall & Oates. How about Hall & Oates doing Pitbull? Could you see that?
I could see a lot of things. You can imagine a lot of things out there.
I don't
know.
There's some things you just can't marry up.
John Oates' magic mustache might be able to do it. Might be able to pull it out.
It is magic.
There's something to it.
Speaking of magic, the ability for Gerard Cherry to get people to go to Tomo Sushi and Hibachi
Gerard
is quite
Cherry
magical.
Tomo Sushi and Hibachi.
Yes.
That's right, because the food's so good.
Gerard, what's up, brother?
Hey, Nate Dogg, what's happening, man?
Not too much. So we've been getting bashed today because we have apparently been called Whedon apologists just for pointing out that he did a couple things well, but, you know, he still has a lot of ways to go. Let me ask you this. With all the support coming out for Brandon Whedon, how secure do you feel about him as the quarterback? Let me ask you this. Where can he be, in your opinion, as the quarterback for the rest of the season? What can he do for this team?
What can he do for this team? Really, you're going to deal with the growing pains and ups and downs of a young and inexperienced player. It's funny you asked this question, Nathan, because I was asked the same thing earlier today in an interview, and I said the following. I'll keep it consistent because that's all you can do, or you should do. And to
please
say
do.
That, what's that?
No, I said please do. Keep it consistent.
Pretty much, I believe Brandon Whedon is going to – it's going to take two or three years, in my opinion, for Brandon Whedon to become the quarterback that we are expecting him to be. I'd say 2 to 3 years, and unfortunately for Brandon Whedon, the Browns, the fan base, the front office, and everyone else does not have that patience to wait that long for him to see that sense of development. So I think he'll have his good days and he'll have his bad days, and they'll kind of balance each other off. But at the same time, it's going to take a while. He's in a new offense. Granted, this offense fits his skill set more than the one he ran with Pratt Shurmur. I understand that. However, it's going to take time. He has to get a sense and feel for the football, game of football, and I don't believe he has it on the pro level quite yet. You only get that through experience. The question remains, will he have that chance and opportunity to get that experience?
And, Gerard, we've talked about this a little earlier on the roundtable. How do you, and I guess this is more of a Rob Chudzinski issue, a coaching issue, how do you fight off that the natural tendency that a team is going to have when a quarterback has struggled as much as he has, or certainly is coming off a half that he's coming off of, that it's easy for the rest of the team to kind of like look at that and say, you know what, if that's what's happening over there, maybe this, you know, this isn't going anywhere, and suddenly effort gets dialed down, suddenly things just, people are more concerned and distracted about that than they are about doing their jobs as players, because if we know one thing about the three wins they've had, they've pretty much been team victories.
They have been team victories, and Rob definitely wants to hammer home that message in that ideal of we have to play complementary football. We're at our best when everyone steps up and does their part and are the best at their role for that particular play, that particular quarter, and that whole entirety of a game. At the same time, Vic, if Rob has a problem and guys do not want to buy in for the Cleveland Browns on what he's selling and what he's pushing and what he's asking, what's required of them contractually, it's one simple thing he can do. Grab your USA Today paper and get a big highlight and show all the guys that were in NFL last year who aren't in the NFL any longer. And if that doesn't send the message to these men that, hey, it's not guaranteed that you can survive and last in this league, nothing will send home that message. So it's quite simple. If you think you can just rest on your laurels and take it off break because Brandon Whedon's not living up to your ideal of what he should be doing, just try the unemployment line and see how that works for you.
Gerard, what does Brandon Whedon have to do for the Cleveland Browns to win football games?
It's simple yet complex, Nathan. The simple part is to say, play better. That's the easy answer. And Lord knows Brandon Whedon wants to play better. Brandon Whedon is trying his best to play meaningful football and to be successful while on the football field. I don't doubt that one bit about Brandon Whedon. The problem is this. Brandon Whedon is in a position where, again, we go back to the inexperience and seeing certain things and having the game slow down for him. That just doesn't happen because you take a magic green or blue pill. This is not the Matrix. It's not going to slow down for him like that. It's going to come through experience and seeing things. So I'd say, one, the game has to slow down for him. He has to get a command and sense of leadership about him in which guys are really buying into him and see him as that And then from a delivery standpoint, we talked about this ad nauseum, getting rid of the football. So right there, I just labeled three things, and I could go on with four more things about his game that he needs to work on. But you can't build all that all in a practice. You can't do that all in the season. It takes time. Hence my recommendation of 2 to 3 years before he gets himself right.
But let me ask you this. He doesn't need to be Aaron Rodgers for this team to win, right? Doesn't he just really have to take care of the football and manage the game and hit a couple big plays here or there? And do you think he's capable of doing that?
I do think he's capable of making those three or four plays, but here's the problem, Nathan. In the course of a game, he's going to always be asked to do something beyond just managing the game. And that's just where the Browns are at, because you're looking at, okay, you shut down Josh Gordon. You shut down Jordan Cameron. What can you do to make Greg Little succeed or Devon Best succeed? And then you look at the running game. That's not as prolific as you would like it to be. Granted, it has improved. So it comes back to Brandon Whedon. What type of throw can he make? What kind of thing can he do to scramble out of pressure to make a play or use his feet? Is he capable of doing that or seeing something develop that wasn't initially designed within the play itself? That's how you get to those next steps. Because it can't just be, okay, it was on the book, it was drawn up this way. Things break down, and it's how you react to once things break down that makes a Brady great, that makes a Rodgers great, that makes a Manning great as well. So he's going to still have to make those plays regardless, unless the defense just plays lights out, and then you have special teams constantly putting him in great field position.
We're visiting with Jerod Cherry, who regularly joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You'll hear him in about, a little under 10 minutes or so with Bruce Hooley. On Hooley and Jerod. Jerod, when we also look at other ways you can help the quarterback, and we're speaking specifically of receivers who have to do their part, right, pass catchers who have to do their part to help things out, but also there's a way to bring some balance to this offense, and I'm not entirely sure this is ideal for North Turner or for Rob Chudzinski philosophically, but maybe the time has come to just let this offense be balanced and be more powerful, and all that muscling up power stuff that we saw in the first half against Detroit might have to be a more of a staple, at least for the time being, until you're kind of resetting things with your passing game. Do you see that as a possibility?
Yeah, I totally see that as a possibility, to leave more heavily on the run as opposed to throwing much more passes than you run the football and creating that imbalance that we discussed in the first place. So yeah, that's a viable option. And also, guys, we talked about this before. I'm going to bring it back into the conversation. One of the things that Brandon Whedon can do, Nathan, to also go back and answer your question at the same time, is this. Those high percentage throws, which you're supposed to make, the short 5 to 10 yard low to intermediate routes, short to intermediate routes, rather, make those plays.
Yep.
You can't win on low percentage deep throws. The whole point is they're low percentage for a reason. So if he can start completing more of those passes and guys not dropping the ball, because that's not all on Brandon Whedon as well. It's his receivers letting him down also by dropping passes. Guys just cannot afford to make mistakes. And if that takes place, he will be helped. And also not creating first and 15, second and long, third and long. You got to keep Brandon Whedon in a situation. I think the run game with what Vic is talking about will help facilitate that. Hey, if you're picking up 3 yards, 3 yards there, I'd rather have 3rd and 4 as opposed to 3rd and 9 or 10+.
Yep. And you need to keep that pressure off of Brandon Whedon. Agreed.
All right, Jerod. Hey, great to hear your takes on all of this. And we love him so much, we're going to bring him back tomorrow, as we always do.
Every day.
It's an everyday thing.
Can't get enough.
Can't get enough of you. All right, thanks, bro.
Sounds like Tomo.
He does that. Jerod Cherry.
Tomo Sushi and Hibachi.
His chance to promote Tomo Sushi. You know, if that place isn't packed every night based on just what we promote on this show.
No, right?
Just the freebies that we have.
Yeah.
I mean, and we got to come in there, and I haven't been there yet, and I'm determined
to make it
happen.
I want to send the Jerod table.
Yeah,
I want to send the Jerod table.
Well, here's what we're going to do. They're having a costume party Halloween night, and it's supposed to be the event of all events.
Ooh.
We'll grow as a crew. That would be interesting.
That would be. Got to give some thought to
that.
That
was the NWO.
It is. Dave DiNatale. Thank you, Jay. Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer. What do we got in the way of tweets?
Guys, got a couple here. You can tweet us at Browns_daily. From Ed James, it's easy to blame Whedon for the loss. If Gordon caught the ball before the half, we would have been up 21-3 going into the half. I don't quite remember that. We need all three phases for a win. Special teams and defense let down in the second half is all part of the reason for the losses.
Correct. You need all three. That the Browns need to play well for 60 full minutes, and then they can beat anybody out here. But the fact of the matter is they are not good enough to only have a half or three quarters of a game.
No. What else?
From Cody. I won't call you apologist, but how can you still be confident in Whedon? He sucks.
It's not. I'm not going to call myself confident in
him.
Neither. I'm saying he's the best option they have, and I say it makes sense to stick with him. The alternative right now is Jason Campbell. I think Whedon's the better alternative right now. But if it continues on, I am not ready. I'm not hooking the whole season to him. I'm hooking the moment to him. I'm hooking Sunday's game to him, and I've written this for ClevelandBrowns.com. If anyone had a chance to read it, I wrote this right after last Sunday's game that, you know, let's see what happens this game, perhaps with Kansas City as well, and then reassess. And I'm sure there's going to be a reassessment needed of some sort other than him just going lights out, and that could happen too. But it'll probably be close enough to reassess and see what you want to do. It's a big call to decide to – if you decide to move away from this guy because you've moved away from him permanently. We want to thank Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon for being a part of this show, and for Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Press Gazette, Jameer Howerton, Devon Best, thank you. Want to thank our outstanding producer, and Gerard Cherry, outstanding producer Dave DiNatale. Want to thank Megan Rock. Who else we got to thank? Everybody, the callers, the tweeters. Thanks for your participation.
Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody.
We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to get an in-depth look at the matchup between the Browns and the Packers. We'll give you our predictions.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to be at
more.
Discount Drug
That's
Mart,
right.
North Royalton.
Check out Notorious.
Stick around for Hooley and Gerard. We'll talk to you again on CBD.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Whedon apologists.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.